Matthew chapter 10, I'll begin reading in verse 16 from the English Standard Version. Hear the word of the Lord. Christ, speaking to his disciples, said, "Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of men, for they will deliver you over to courts and flog you in their synagogues, and you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake, to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. When they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and children will rise up against parents and have them put to death, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next, for truly I say to you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher, and the servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? God of light and life, open our eyes as we come to your word. Lord, open our ears as we come to your word, so that we may not only hear your word, but then see your word lived out in our lives and in all your world. Through Christ our Lord, the light of the world. Amen. Well, at the start of a new year, and this is our first worship service of 2019, which is hard enough to believe. When I was a boy, if you'd asked me what I'd be doing in 2019, I'm sure I thought I'd be living on Mars by now. And yet here we are just opening God's Word. That's more exciting than Mars. First Sunday of 2019, it's a good opportunity. We don't do this every year, but I like to do this occasionally, to just take a break. Lord willing, we'll get back to 1 Corinthians next Sunday. But just take a break and focus a little bit on who we are, what we're doing, what we're becoming. This is a good opportunity for fresh starts and reflection. And this term, what I really want to encourage us to focus on is the gift. And Scripture does call it a gift, but it is also a skill, and Scripture refers to it as that as well, of discernment. And we'll do that through a few different ways. One is a book that I would like us to read together. Again, the books were supposed to be here Friday. They didn't make it. I'm sure they'll be here tomorrow, but that's no big deal. We've got time. We're going to work through it in Sunday school, Lord willing, for a few weeks, and then in our men's study. And hopefully employ technology in an edifying way by sending some Bible studies along the way too. But really think about what the Bible has to say about discernment. And to kick this off, I want to take just a few moments this morning to look at Matthew chapter 10, because it focuses on the topic of discernment. You're probably aware of the context here. Jesus in chapter 10 is appointing his inner circle of 12 disciples. These are the 12 that will eventually become the apostles. And he's giving them their mission, and he's giving them some thoughts before he sends them out. Now, we're not members of the inner 12. We're not apostles. We're not capital A apostles. That was an office reserved for these men. But I think there are some real parallels here, some clear parallels, and some real clear implications and applications about what we are to expect as disciples with a little d of Christ in this world. Verses 5 through 15, we won't go back and read it. But basically, Christ is giving them the charge to go out, and the charge is to go out and proclaim the gospel. Go out and proclaim that the kingdom has arrived in Christ. Go out and proclaim the good news. Go out and sow the seeds of God's word. Start in your own town and then go out from there. But go with the mission of proclaiming the good news of Christ. And it's a message, he says, that's so important that the way people respond to it will have eternal consequences. It's a message so important that the way you respond to it will determine the eternal destiny of your soul. Go with it with that sense of urgency and that sense of importance and take it to the world. And then in verse 16, in the middle of this charge, he makes a call, and it is a call for discernment. Jesus made a lot of striking statements in his ministry, right? Recorded in the Gospels. I've always found this to be one of the most striking. This just really is a startling call for discernment. And he invokes the proverbial view of four different animals. Read it with me, verse 16. Behold, in other words, get this, don't miss this. I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves, so be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. He invokes the proverbial view of four animals: sheep, wolves, serpents, doves. When Jesus sends us out to bear witness to his word, he says, I send you out like sheep. I send you out as sheep. What's the proverbial understanding of sheep? Well, they don't come with much of a skill set. They don't come in terms of their own innate abilities. Sheep aren't known for really any innate abilities. They're weak. They're vulnerable. They're not strong. Jesus says you don't go out in your own might. You don't go out in your own strength. You go out in weakness. You go out in humility. Humbly. He doesn't send us out as dominant and strong. He sends us out as vulnerable, frail, inadequate. Inadequate. Right up front. No, you are about to go on a mission. If you are a follower of Christ and you are inadequate for the mission, you're vulnerable and you're frail and you don't have much to offer. You're not going in your own strength. You're going to have to depend on his strength, on his power. My disciples are being sent out like sheep. And then he says, in the midst of wolves. What's the proverbial understanding of wolves? Especially in relationship to sheep. They eat sheep. They're hostile towards sheep. Not just incidentally hostile, purposefully hostile. You have a target on your back if you're a follower of Christ. The wolves will come for you and they will intentionally seek to inflict harm upon you. He wants us to understand the spiritual danger of following Christ is real. The stakes are high. There is a world out there. If you follow Christ, there is a world out there that wants to sift you like wheat. Wants to sift our children like wheat. Wants to do us harm. Wants to capture our faith. He goes on in our passage, all the way through the rest of the discourse, warning that the wolves are going to deliver the sheep to courts. The wolves are going to flog the sheep. The wolves are going to drag the sheep before governors. The wolves are going to have parents put to death. The wolves are going to have children put to death. The wolves are going to hate you. They're going to persecute you. They're going to malign you. They're going to make fun of you. They're going to seek to kill you. Very clear what Jesus is saying here. In this world, if you follow after Christ, you're going to be treated the way wolves treat sheep. Make no mistake about it. If they did that to Christ, they'll do that to us. In fact, this is an amazing statement in verse 25. He says, if they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? Look what they do to me. It's going to be even worse for you. is what Christ is saying. Well, naturally, this raises the question, if the environment is this bad, how in the world can we proclaim the kingdom of God without being devoured? How are we going to last 2 seconds in this type of environment? This is horrifying what Christ is describing here. How are we to endure this for more than a moment? It says in verse 22, the one who endures to the end will be saved. How in the world are we supposed to endure this? Well, Jesus teaches us that to be Christ-like in a godless world, we have to be discerning. You are sheep. You're going out amidst wolves. Therefore, so, verse 16, you must be wise. You must be discerning. You must be crafty as serpents. You must have the wisdom of a serpent. And that immediately, if you know anything about the scriptures, that immediately takes you back to Genesis chapter 3. The serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field. Do you feel how shocking that is? This is absolutely intentional on the part of Christ. He's saying you must be as wise as the serpent. You must be as wise as the enemy himself. One of the worst things you can do in an adversarial situation is underestimate the power of your enemy, underestimate the knowledge and wisdom of your enemy. He says you have to be as wise as your enemy, as crafty. What's the proverbial understanding of snakes? Well, to this day, snakes are thought of as shrewd and sneaky and subtle, quick, quick-witted, wise. And if you're not being wise, and you're not being shrewd, what's the opposite of that? You're being naive. You're being foolish. You're being gullible. He says, be wise as serpents. You're going out among wolves. You've got to be as wise as the enemy. And you also must be as innocent as doves. That's a jarring balance. That's a jarring juxtaposition. A dove is about as opposite of a snake as you could think, proverbially speaking, about animals. What's the proverbial understanding of a dove? It's peaceful. It's pure. It's innocent. It's harmless. You go back to the Old Testament, doves are listed as the clean animals. And he says, balance both of these things. Be both of these things. Be as wise and crafty as a serpent. Be as harmless and pure and as peaceful as a dove. This is the general principle about how to navigate amidst the wolves and do kingdom work and last more than a few moments. Be wise as a serpent. Be innocent as a dove. And of course, you go amid the wolves and you sow God's word. Go out there. Be vulnerable. Put yourself out there. Be a sheep among wolves. But when they lunge at you, the smart thing to do is step aside. When they open their mouths to devour you, you don't have to jump in. Don't go out of your way to cause unnecessary pain and grief. Don't go out of your way to give any legitimate reason for someone to accuse you of any kind of immorality. Don't go out of your way to give anyone some legitimate reason to accuse you of any injustice. Put yourself out there as vulnerable, but be wise the way you do it. You need snake-like intelligence and dove-like innocence. Jesus does not say, go out there and just get yourself in as much trouble as possible. He means risk yourself, be non-combative, spread the word, sow the seeds, but be wise about how you do it. Be careful about how you do it. Know when to hold them, know when to fold them. Know when to advance, know when to retreat. That's called discernment. Navigating the torrential waters of a fallen world as a follower of Christ. Living as a sheep among wolves to the glory of God as a follower of Christ requires the wisdom of a serpent and the innocence of a dove. And who's the perfect example of this? Our own Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Sweetest man that ever lived. Sweetest man that ever lived. Peaceful, dove-like, loving, caring, compassionate. He was a gentle, gentle person. He would not break a bruised reed. He would not quench a smoldering wick. But if occasion called for it, he would pull out a whip and clear out a temple. Soft-spoken, kind. But if the occasion called for it, he could speak with clarity and volume and assertiveness, wise as a serpent. You see it in all of his teachings. I'm always amazed when I read through the Gospels how Jesus was so wise, he could perfectly discern the differences in any set of audiences. And he pulls out a set of stories. He pulls out a set of parables. And he could use those same parables to feed some and to weed out others. It's perfect wisdom. Amazing. Think about how many times traps are set for Jesus in the Gospels. The Pharisees always setting traps, trying to produce the perfect gotcha moment. He'll have none of it. Never. He's too wise. He's too quick. He's too discerning. Pure as a dove. Always acting with compassion. Challenged folks. Jesus challenged folks to find fault with himself. And yet in the last week of his life, during the mock trials, do you remember Pilate three different times in the Gospels proclaimed Jesus to be innocent? Friends, that is the wisdom of a serpent and the innocence of a dove to perfection. And that's what he calls us to be. Let me share a quote with you. This is from commentator William Hendrickson, speaking specifically on verse 16, the analogy in verse 16. Quote, "The keenness here recommended as a human quality involves insight into the nature of one's surroundings, both personal and material. It requires circumspection, sanctified common sense, wisdom to do the right thing at the right time and in the right place and in the right manner. A serious attempt always to discover the best means to achieve the highest goal, an earnest and honest search for an answer to such questions as, how will this word or this action of mine look in the end? How will this word or action of mine affect my own future, that of my neighbor, or God's glory? Or questions such as, is this the best way to handle the problem, or is there a better way?" That's a lot to think about. That's what discernment is. That's what Jesus is getting at when he calls us to the wisdom of a serpent and the innocence of a dove. It's distinguishing right from wrong. It's distinguishing primary from secondary. It's the ability to distinguish between good and better, or better and best. It's the ability to distinguish between the forest and the trees. And it's the ability to serve Christ honorably in any given situation. The discerning Christian gets to the heart of the matter. Do you want to be somebody like that? That can, in any given situation, sum it up, size it up, get to the real heart of the matter, and make a choice that brings eternal glory to Christ? I do. I want to be that way. I want to get better at that. How do we get better at that? How do we get that kind of discernment? How do we pass that kind of discernment to our children? How do we learn to think about things in that kind of light and confidence and the wisdom of the scriptures to the glory of God? That's what I want to focus on. That's what I want us to focus on in the weeks ahead. I hope if the books come in tomorrow, Lord willing, you will pick one up at your convenience. Love for you to stay for the Sunday school class. If it works out, the next three Sundays, our men's study is going to focus on this. We'll do some things by email. There's lots of opportunities. It's not legalistic. It's not a list to check off. But if you want to, the resource is here. I want to think about what the Bible has to say about discernment. I'm going to ask the men to come forward to prepare the table.